It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this final Monday of the month of November 2022. It is the 28th day of November 2022. More in Monday. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Yes, we still have a chat room here in the early years of the third decade of the 21st century. We do. We really, really do. And it's a lot of fun. And if you pop by, you'll be greeted by early arriver Squeaky and capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. And and he is capably assisted by Roger up in the garden in Oregon, but still within easy reach of the brain basher. I'm a little confused here. $9.99. Okay. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. It is in fact Moran Monday on the horn, and we have Morans to get to. Oh, you know, as the maggots prepare to take over the House of Representatives in the Congress, I have a feeling that it's going to be a rich Moran harvest for the next couple of years. And, well, don't want to get ahead of myself. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this one is no different. So thanks go out to our 28th, 27th, and 26th of the month subscribers. Thank you so kindly to Suman out in Arizona, Stan. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thanks as well to our buddy Robert in Australia. I hope you're well, Robert. I haven't heard from you in a while. I trust you're probably still staying inside. Thank you to David up in Oregon, formerly of San Diego. And thanks to Ralphs. And thanks to Emilio. And Sharon, thank you. So, and you're right. Steve from Georgistan sent a message late on Friday when he kicked in and said, fun show, thanks for allowing me to be part of it. You're a part of things anytime you want to, Brother Bishop Steve. Anytime you want. Because your presence always adds to the quantum of the quality of the program. So, where do we stand? Well, here's the terror report. $1,900. The hole is $1,900 deep, with 3 days to go. And you know, sometimes that's the hardest part of doing this program, is having to talk about that, and the fact that we struggle and struggle and struggle to try to keep this program on the air. And by we, I mean you, all of you, us, we. We few, we happy few, you know, let's don't get all Henry V. But that's how it works in this era. No corporate sponsors, no Buy Gold Now ads, no chocolate chicken bone paleo beverage hustles like Alex Jones has. But there are real-time consequences of not meeting the fundraising goals, and probably the chief among them is this program goes away, and then a lot of other stuff starts going away. You know, cars, electricity, internet. Ralph's has a challenge on the table. She will gladly match the first $25 that comes in, and if we can make it come in, that'll be fantastic. Thank you, Ralph's. Thank you for the dear that you are. And thanks to everybody who kicks in and participates in this struggle, because it is a struggle for all of us. And, you know, this time of year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Thanksgiving is over. I hope everybody had a lovely extended weekend. And now we begin the crawl toward Christmas. And it probably is not going to be. It's probably going to be more like. It'll feel more like a sprint. But these are the days. Thanksgiving is over. The days get shorter and shorter and shorter, and colder and colder and colder. Until, you know, long about the. Well, I tend to mark the winter solstice more than I do Christmas. Although I do find it hilarious that Cromwell and the Puritans. Were finally thrown out in merry old England after their Puritan Reformation. The English people finally ditched them when Cromwell declared there would be no more Christmasing. There'll be no more Christmasing, I tell you, none. None. For it is not in the Bible. You'll go eat a boiled buckled shoe. Ugh, Puritans. But anyway, hopefully we will, because that works out to like 3 days, and that's $600 a night. Oh, my God. meanwhile, Napoleon Bonaparte is pissing and moaning because Apple has taken their advertising dollars somewhere else rather than handing them to a grifty billionaire with a taste for anti-Semitic conspiracies and stuff. You know about that, right? I mean, wait a minute. Let's do this right. Hold on. Yeah. Here we go.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's More and Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed, right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas reside all the More ands you could ever, ever, ever want to witness in your life, and yet we find more of them every blessed Monday. Yep, just here a few steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only recently you were vainly attempting to throw a ping pong ball and get it to land inside a goldfish bowl so that you could take home with you a feisty, precious little baby iguana and spend the rest of your life making sure that you kept it in the lap of luxury and surrounded by romaine lettuce. Yes, yes, we're here, More and Monday. Mm-hmm. And in point of fact, a $10 subscriber, well, you keep more, $10 subscribers keep More and Monday going from town to town to town each and every Monday at a rate of something on the order of that half of a McDonald's hamburger that you didn't eat. Actually, it's not. There's no dollar menu anymore. So it's actually like a third of a McDonald's hamburger. Good God. This is the cheapest broadcast enterprise on earth. And not because I'm part Scots. No. It's amazing how much we can do with, Right. So hopefully. Hopefully, we'll get some new subscribers. That would be wonderful. And I'm working on some other things as well. Maybe the new horn in. I don't know. That would be lovely. But the standard disclaimer applies. Anyone entering the Moran Monday tent needs to be prepared for, the way that the Morans behave. So as you enter the Moran Monday tent, pass through the thin cybernetic veil of canvas, keep a close hand on bracelets and rings and necklaces. Heavens to Betsy, keep a close hand on piercings. I mean, messenger, European-style messenger bags for dudes, purses, watches. Heavens to Betsy, even that iguana that you somehow miraculously won throwing ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls. Keep a close eye and a hand on all of them, because after all, as we all know, the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you will. It's just awful. So, as I noted, King Napoleon Bonaparte, he's never really done much with his life. Just had a bunch of money handed to him from, apartheid emerald mines and the like. Apartheid era, I should say. And, he didn't invent the Tesla automobile, no. And he didn't invent the SpaceX dick rocket, no. Although we certainly wish he would use one and fly off to his beach house on Mars and take all the little libertardians with you. he's flailing about and posting pictures of toy guns and antique muzzle loader pistols and three empty cans of caffeine-free Diet Coke from the middle of the... Dude, get help. I mean, really. Caffeine-free Diet Coke? I mean, Elon. Can I call you Elon? No? Okay, fuckface. Listen, fuckface, there's no reason to drink caffeine-free Diet Coke. I mean, trust me, I'm decaffeinated. There's no. There's caffeine-free Coke Zero now, and I'll bet it's easier for you to find than it is for me. Comes in cans, 2-liter bottles. I mean, you can do it, and you don't have to. Jesus, that stuff tastes like New Coke from 1985, and oh God, I remember New Coke from 1985, and it was horrible. It was bad. It was terrible. But, he's going to do him. But he's mad at Apple now, having spent the day also, among other things, tweeting, Vindman is both puppet and puppeteer. Question is, who pulls his strings? Oh dear, the puppet and the puppeteer trope. I don't know. Maybe he got that from Nick Fuentes. Remember, we spent some time Friday on the front porch talking about Nick Fuentes? Yeah, it's a classic anti-Semitic trope, and no small number of people were quick to point that out. Adam Kinzinger tweeted at him and said, you mean like the Jews or something? Is that what this is? All because Colonel Vindman triggered poor little Elon. Punkin, yeah, I know. Alexander Vindman tweeted, Alexander Vindman received a nasty little dose of hate speech. And sent it out and name-checked Elon and Nitwit Nero and the artist formerly known as Kanye, now just the definite article, the, or when he's in New York, thank you, Lee, duh. This is what Alexander Vindman received. You are an ugly, nasty Jew or Jew defender, existing in the world as the mouthpiece of globalist claptrap that seeks to destroy all that is lovely and decent. Your voice is the voice that should be censored because it is the voice of a corrosive evil conveying a susceptibility to Judaic tyranny and the soulless sleaze of the fallen. You celebrate all that is vile and rotten, hideous and ungodly, shallow and diseased, because these are the things that lurk within you, like the fecal matter stored within an anus. Your face offends all that is beautiful and dignified, and in that way, you are purely Jewish. And so Alexander Vindman let Elon and Nitwit Nero and Kanye, of all people. I mean, not of all people, but I mean, I just don't expect him to be able to read all those big words. And that triggered Elon. Yeah. Triggered him. Triggered the daylights plumb out of him. There we are. But he had other things on his mind, too, besides puppets and puppeteers and who's pulling whose strings. God, he's vile. And so, what... Elon is now... this fool, Napoleon Bonaparte, thank you, Joy, again, wonders if Apple hates free speech because Apple stopped advertising on Twitter. Still trying to figure out exactly how he made that connection with his very big apartheid brain. Apple has mostly stopped advertising on Twitter. Do they hate free speech in America? They, in America? Elon, where are you, buddy? Oh, and by the way, Elon, how's your daughter? Oh, right, she won't speak to you. She despises you so much, Elon, that she went to court to make sure that your name is never, ever, 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 ever associated with her. 10 kids by 3 different women. Where does he find time to tweet? Oh, well, it's Moran Monday, and that's just one place to start. Thank you to Henry. Thank you so much, Henry. Henry just answered Ralph's challenge. And so we are now down to 1825. Thank you so much, Henry. Henry out in Oakland. Thank you. And... so 1825, and well, we're working toward solving the problem. Thank you, Henry. Thank you, Ralphs. And not in the Bible. Lee in New York says Cromwell said that Christmas is not in the Bible. You know what else isn't in the Bible? Hanukkah. Hanukkah's not in the Bible. Never got a dinner. Sorry, I lapsed immediately into. Henny Youngman and yeah, never. Sorry, my apologies. Bad hostess. But no. Let's go to the tale of the Morans, shall we? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Brother Deacon Asa points out Elon is a younger, less charismatic Trump. He'll bankrupt Twitter and hopefully Tesla too. Watch this space. Well, like, I don't know. In a sort of Greek tragedy kind of way. There's a future. There's a potential timeline out there, a future, where it's like, I don't know, Sophocles meets Stephen King. Oedipus Rex meets Christine, and Elon gets run over by one of his own cars. Not wishing it, just saying that potential timeline does exist. because the goddess of irony rules the universe. Other matters for More on Monday? Oh, mercy. So many of them. Where to begin? Well, this is a sad one. It's, well, that's true. Steve in New York says, I actually think Elon is a billionaire, or was one at one point. Ralph said, I got rid of my Tesla stock a week ago. I wish I'd gotten rid of it sooner. It's probably a good idea. Because, well, Tesla isn't exactly... Well, wait, Tesla is setting the world on fire. One automobile at a time. Never mind. I was going to say it's deer season in the United States, but it's apparently hunting season in other parts of the world as well. At least we don't have to add this to the U.S. total. Guy was hunting in another country. And, This is good. This is good firearm safety if y'all are hunters. You know, when you're done with the hunt, you need to clear the barrel, make sure there's no rounds left in it, and make sure even when the gun is empty, have the safety on. Because otherwise, your dog might come over and be all curious and start sniffing around the gun and nudge the trigger with a nose or a paw or something, and the next thing you know, no more 32-year-old hunter. But people did begin speculating, no, the dog didn't do it. No, somebody murdered it. And you know what? That's a reality in America, too. We had, once upon a time, there were files. Probably still there. They're just unsolved files of people who had been killed deader than Adam's off ox. During turkey season here in West Virginia. Because in turkey season, you wear full camo. I mean, you can't wear any color, and you got to hide from the turkeys, and guys would go out, and maybe one of them would know that the other had been, a romping with his mallman. And the next thing you know, because we allow rifles in spring gobbler season here, bang! And he ain't a romping no more. So just a reminder, if you're engaging in hunting sports, to please do so with extreme care and caution. And then, well, then there's the Hunter Biden's laptop guy. Oh, This is just so delightful. The Hunter Biden laptop guy is going to be a real Lulu when Jim Jacketoff Jordan gavels in the hearing. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be delightful. I mean, not only is there going... not the chain of custody alone on that laptop... is going to be a circus. But the Hunter Biden laptop repairman... Well, wait till you meet him. This is for the ages. I mean, if they invite him to testify, oh my goodness, It's gonna be a hockey puck and duct tape time. We're talking about a fella by the name of John Paul MacIsaac. John Paul MacIsaac. And he runs something called The Mac Shop. And he's the guy who claims that he had something to do with Hunter Biden's laptop. And so they invited him on to Newsmuck to talk about it, where somebody who gets a check every couple of weeks from Newsmuck by the name of Sean Crazeman. Well, never mind the description. Let's go to the audio. Yeah. The Mac guy has his beret on, and he's wearing his tartan flannel shirt. Aye, and he is.
Important business dealings allegedly there on that laptop and in email form. There would be subpoenas. There would be an inquiry, according to those Republicans. If you were subpoenaed or asked to participate in an inquiry.
Now, I got to tell you, because, you know, we're using audio from video here. He's staring at the camera or at something out in front of him. It looks like it's something that is so shocking to him that he cannot tear himself away from looking at it. I mean, we're talking about wide-eyed and maybe wild-eyed. But anyway.
To say, hey, John Paul, MacIsaac, what do you know? What can you tell us about what you found in this laptop? Would you respond to that? Would you be willing to go along with this committee under oath and answer questions from that committee?
Well, I've been working. Well, technically, I've tried to work with Congress over this issue over the course of almost three.
Wait, you got your beret with your little beanie on it and your tartan flag flannel shirt and you're running the Mac shop. Where's your brogue? You sound terribly, terribly ordinary. And that's my bad brogue. I don't know what to make of it. Oh, it was a drive-by fruiting.
3 years. I have been working with members of Congress over the past about 5-6 months.
I'm being harsh. I mean, he sounds reasonably coherent, right? Right? No, just say right. Lie to me. He sounds coherent, doesn't he? I mean, he hasn't gone all sold American or anything. Mother. Totally rational. Yeah. Yeah.
I've tried to work with Congress over this issue over the course of almost 3 years. I have been working with members of Congress over the past about 5-6 months to make sure that they have the resources. They have my side of the story. They have all my emails, my correspondence with the FBI, text messages. And I've also offered to continue that level of support. If they want me to come in and testify, I only have one condition, and that is I get to wear my kilt.
Oops. Nothing went wrong. Didn't lose the signal. That's just me processing this piece of audio for the fifth time today. I have only one condition. I get to wear my kilt. Aw, honey, you're valid. We see you. I feel the same way about my pencil skirt. He wants to wear his kilt. Because that's the price of John Paul MacIsaac's patriotism. Oh, the humanity. I can hear you laughing. I can hear, because it's like rational. I want to wear my kilt. I know. Steve in New York says, I get to wear my kilt. Immediately, I heard the Twilight Zone theme in my mind. Oh, I didn't realize that. I feel like a shithead now. Ron and Raleigh explains the reason that John Paul MacIsaac demands to wear a kilt is because he's legally blind. The whole thing stinks like a batch of haggis. Oh. Okay, that's an anti-cowbell for me not knowing he was legally blind. But that's definitely a cowbell for Ron and Raleigh for batch of haggis. Well, shame on me. But still, I get to wear my kilt. And I'm not... Especially my dear friend Arnold in PA. If you're listening, I apologize. Because I've seen... Arnold's legally blind, too. And I've seen him do amazing things with computers. I don't think this guy is Arnold. Because I have never heard Arnold say, oh, yeah, man, I'll do it for... Yeah, I'll help you out. Yeah, but only if I get to wear my kilt. Arnold? No. No. Mm-mm. And that is, I get to wear my kilt. I feel just deeply rotten about the... Okay. But... The kilt? Yeah, there's some...
Submitted for your approval. A man who only wants to wear his kilt holds the fate of democracy in his hands.
But, you know, this is... Well, at least... Yeah, the star witness... Yeah, the guy in the kilt. There's something about a song, something about a ribbon, and I don't know where you've been, but at least you won first prize. I get to wear my kilt. I'd kind of like to be a fly on the wall in Jim Jacket Off Jordan's office. Yes, Congressman. And John Paul MacIsaac is perfectly willing to cooperate with the committee investigation. He just wants to be able to wear his kilt. Oh, for fuck's sake! That's my star witness, the guy in the kilt. Well, sir, you never wear a jacket to hearings. Well, that's because I'm protesting the feminazis. Well, sir, it's either him and his kilt or... it's a little cold. Lee, tech guy. Lee in New York says maybe this tech guy is like Arnold. You know, Arnold Ziffel. Who changed the channel. We talked about Arnold a little bit, Scott and I, last week. Adam's off ox. Kim in New York City says, I've heard that expression numerous times, also used in It's a Wonderful Life, or maybe not. I'm old enough that I should already know this, but what on earth does it mean? Well, it's... I don't know if I know. I've just used it. See also Adam's house cat. Wouldn't know him from Adam's house cat. I guess one assumes that Adam had a team of oxen and that one or the other didn't get used every day. And so if you saw Adam out in the field, he'd have his ox with him, and you wouldn't know diddly about his off ox. Best I got, Kim. I'm sorry. But I'm trying. The kilt guy, Stephen New York, says, perhaps I'm being a haggis head, but just what kind of forensic work could a legally blind man do on a computer? You can look at code. You absolutely can look at code, depending on the nature of his visual disability. And legally blind is different from, like, totally blind. And so probably with the appropriate spectacles, he could maybe do code work or look at flaws but the thing is, we're not talking about a laptop here. We are talking about the anytime you want to talk about the hard drive in Hunter Biden's laptop, you have to cue up Johnny Cash singing "I've Been Everywhere," because that hard drive has, and it does not have a chain of custody. Establishing the chain of custody for that hard drive would be like trying to backtrack Einstein's unified field theory and actually coming up with a unified theory that explains. No, not happening. Well, thank you, Ralphs. An off ox is the ox on the right side of a team of oxen, further away from a driver customarily walking on the left side of the team than a near ox. So that's off ox. And it all derives from initially knowing someone from Adam. And then somehow there had to be a further level of unknowingness. So we get the off ox. Can't really see the off ox from the left flank of the ox. The things we get into on this program. You can be forgiven for thinking so, Steve. Steve said, I just looked at the calendar. It's not April 1st. Are you actually on air on April 1st, 2023, and talking back through the interwebs to us? By the way, it's not a dump truck. It's a series of tubes. Yes, of course it is. No, sadly, this is real time and real world. Goodness me, sakes alive. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island, a member of the sorority of Leans. $75 challenge, and I'll add 50 when it's met. Best from Rogues Island. Thank you. Thank you, Charlene. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you. So, if we can meet 75 bucks, 50 more will get to it. That's 150 plus. That's $200 more that we, that's $200 more than we will be down the road. Which would take us down into the $1,500 neighborhood. That'd get us down to $1,625. So thank you. Thank you, Charlene. I hope people will respond quickly. Well, thank you, Kim. Kim said that sounds reasonable. Thanks, Robin. I think we finally got all the way to the bottom of it. Thank you for facilitating that addendum to our quantum of knowledge. Randy Radar, who would know, says, normally computer forensics would apply. However, at that high level of politics, I'm not sure if it applies. Well, I mean, it should, but You know, this business of I've been talking to the FBI all along and I'm trying to cooperate with the FBI. I don't know about you, but it that kind of has some Mr. Meth Pillow feel to it. Yeah, meanwhile, Dave in the Blind says, John Paul, gimmick infringement. If you want to appear before Congress, let us pray you don't appear before the regimental, no matter how small your shortcomings. Instead, in faith, invest that good right-wing dollar in getting a brain. I know this goes against your religious beliefs, being a conservative, but trust me, it's worth it. Upkilt is the same thing as upskirt. No. Only if I get to wear my kilt. And then this one just sort of blew my mind. This is not a funny or goofy story. This is a creepy as hell story. I guess we could preface it by saying, cops, good God, y'all, what are they good for? Well, the cops in Riverside, California, this past Friday morning were good for showing up and pulling the, well, here's how it goes. There was this guy. Man, that's journalistic, isn't it? There was a guy who was actually a member of the sheriff's department in North Chesterfield, Virginia. 28-year-old Austin Lee Edwards. He used to actually be a member of the Virginia State Police, the most vaunted of law enforcement within the structures of the Old Dominion. But he left the Virginia State Police, and then he went to work for the Washington County, Virginia Sheriff's Office. 28-year-old Austin Lee Edwards, Deputy Sheriff Austin Lee Edwards of North Chesterfield, Virginia, got blown away by the Riverside, California police Friday as he tried to take off with a young girl. The cops in Riverside, California got a call saying, hey, check on this girl. And when the cops arrived, they saw that she seemed to be in a state of distress as a guy tried to get her into the car with him. And then the radio crackled to life again. And they received word that a house was on fire. Well, the cops were busy with the guy and the girl in distress. So the Riverside, California Fire Department showed up and found a house burning. And then the firefighters went inside and brought out three bodies who had been murdered. The three murder victims were 69-year-old Mark Wynack, his 65-year-old wife, Sherry Wynack, and their 38-year-old daughter, Brooke Wynack. The girl in distress in the car was Brooke Wynack's daughter. And the sheriff's deputy from North Chesterfield, Virginia, which is right near Richmond, had crossed the country because he had catfished the little girl. And was trying to run off with her. He had been communicating with her online. Pretending to be someone he wasn't. And murdered her grandma and her grandpa. And her mama on the day after Christmas. Once again, over on the right wing side of life, there will be no breathless stories of Austin Lee Edwards of North Chesterfield, Virginia, 28-year-old sheriff's deputy and former member of the Virginia State Police. Because he is, in fact, a real live, no kidding, child predator. He was, in fact, a groomer. But he doesn't fit their narrative. If they do mention him, they will say that he was a drag queen. He wasn't. Or an LGBTQ. Which he wasn't. Just a disgusting pedophile. The kind that you, can find in stories all over the place just about every day. Trump voters, Republicans. No, Ralphs, this murder wasn't almost a year ago. The dateline on this story is November the 28th, 2022. It was this past Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It was first published at 5:54 a.m. today and updated at 4:54 p.m. And he drove off with the girl. It all took place in the La Sierra South neighborhood in Riverside. I mean, this is, yeah. They eventually tracked the vehicle, a red Kia Soul, as he was driving with the child through San Bernardino County, somewhere near Kelso. When the cops got near, he started shooting back, and at least one deputy blew him away. The Riverside Police Department, in a statement, said, detectives determined Edwards had met the female teenager through the common form of online deception known as catfishing, where someone pretends to be a different person than they actually are. The child is now in protective custody with the Riverside County Department of Public Social Services. Part of the reason she was in distress was probably from having watched her grandma and her grandpa and her mama get blown away. One wonders how much follow-up there'll be on this. If there will be any forensic work done on any computers to find out exactly what the nature of the catfishing was. Poor child. Oh, well. Like I said, you won't hear a word about this out of Matt Walsh's mouth or Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Ben Shapiro's. Because it doesn't fit their narrative. Because their narrative is Did I say after Christmas, Ralphs? I thought I meant after Thanksgiving. Day after Thanksgiving. My bad. I do make mistakes. Bilbo Rick says, Ripley's Believe It or Not headlines. Robin, I never thought I'd see this headline from the Orange County Register of all sources. What will it take for Trump supporters to recognize they're following a clown? Well, the bloom is off the rose for some, but... Well, he'll stay in it to the very end, because at this point in time, I think he probably recognizes this is his only way to stay out of prison is by winning the presidency. Although that raises an interesting issue, and some of this is going to be pretty horrifying to even ponder. Let's say that in 2024, because weirder things have happened, let's say that in November 2024, the House and the Senate remain, the House returns to Democratic hands, the Senate remains in Democratic hands, and maybe Nitwit Nero wins the presidency and somehow evades what by then are criminal charges against him. If once he was inaugurated, would impeachment proceedings be begun against him for having been indicted for felonies? And would we then have to sit through a bullshit Senate hearing in which Republicans, one after another, stood up and said, well, we can't convict him of the impeachment because he ain't been convicted in a court of law. Sometimes I hate thinking these eventualities out, because I'm feeling kind of nauseated right about now. You tell me, Billable Rick. What will it take for Trump supporters to recognize they're following a clown? Well, see, the Orange County Register, the maggots will just read that, even though it's a right-wing rag, and they'll say, damn liberal media. Won't give them a chance. Wrong accent for Orange County, I'm sure, but then again, we've referred to Orange County as Mississippi County, California. With, you know, better climate and more money. It's a hell of a thing. And there is still some chatter going on from the dinner with the Definite Article and Nick Fuentes. According to Kathleen Ballou, who as a job she follows sort of the energy flow on among white supremacist outfits. She calls them white power instead of white supremacist. And if you've ever met one, you know there's nothing supreme about them. White power is a concentrated but very violent subset within the broader web of white supremacy. White power is better thought about as a connected movement of groups and activists who are overtly racist and interested in using violence to create an all-white ethno-state, society, or even nation. Sometimes they think about an all-white planet. She's using the word think in its loosest sense. And what Kathleen Ballou went on to say to Greg Sargent at the Washington Post was that by having dinner with The Definite Article and Nick Fuentes, well, Nitwit Nero gave him another big PR and propaganda boost right up there with stand down and stand by. She noted that the effect of the meeting was to show white power groups that the political mainstream can be radicalized. It's meant to show that the government is not all powerful, that there are enough like-minded people to rise against it. And she added that they continue to view January 6th, these groups, as a stunning act of propaganda. We saw upticks in recruitment drives, and the lack of condemnation of those events by the mainstream Republican Party really showed these activists that there's plenty more space for them in our political process. It would be nice if we could figure out that maybe it would be a good thing not to make space for them in our political process. And then there's a little something that took place out in Washington prior to the weekend. Let me see here. Hang on, I'm looking for it here. Oh, there we go. Yeah, of course. SeaTac Airport. And I hope Jude got through the weekend okay. She was dealing with some awful stuff as we came. Horror. As we came into the weekend. Jude, I hope you're all right. Our heart remains with you. But out at the airport in Seattle, earlier on Friday, a guy started standing up and giving the, well, that salute. Yeah, eventually he was arrested for creating a public disturbance. And the crowd just sort of stood around, and you heard there were a couple of chuckles. The crowd just stood around and sort of watched him yell Heil Hitler in America. And this was back on November 20th, I'm sorry. The cops, like I said, did eventually come along and arrest him, and he continued to bark and grunt and hoot like the Nazi that he is. And, yeah, well, his name is Nicholas Letney. His profile says, works at self-employed writer author, went to Auburn Riverside High School, went to Bonnie Lake High School, exposed the mind control program, and exposed the fact that steroids... Why does this make me think of the guy with the kilt? And exposed the fact that steroids don't shrink the dick. And he wanted to form... He tried to form his own political party, the Christian Workers Party. For Christian socialists. And this, again, was in Washington. This was not in Alabama. This was not in Kentucky, Stan, not in South Carolina. No. No. Goodness me. Thank you to Mark, Uncle Smokey. Thank you. We are on the way toward meeting Charlene's greetings from Rogues Island Challenge. Thank you. That could get us down to 1625 as we try to avert disaster here. I wish I was kidding. I'm not kidding about potential disaster. We're just a typical American family here. We are a day away from... We live a day away from disaster. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Bernadette says that Orange County accent. You got to put some affluenza on that accent from Orange County. Yeah, some affluenza. Mm-hmm. So that brings us all the way around now that we've had a, we've had Nazi hate mail to Alexander Vindman. And we've got the Nazi in SeaTac. Well, that brings us around to one of the larger news stories of the day. Namely that... the little racist asshole, 19 years old, who murdered 10 people in a Buffalo, New York grocery store this past May, is going to, as the saying goes, save the taxpayers a lot of money and plead guilty. I mean, there really wasn't a defense there. But it's kind of history-making because in pleading guilty, Peyton Gendron will be the first person convicted under New York's new law hate crime law. Well, no one's ever been convicted under it, and now Peyton Gendron will spend the rest of his life in prison with no possibility whatsoever of parole, having pled guilty to the charge, the hate crime charge. I've never heard a statement like this from a defense counsel before. Speaking to reporters, defense counsel Brian Parker said his guilty plea, this critical step represents a condemnation of the racist ideology that fueled his horrific actions. Erie County District Attorney John Flynn agreed, saying, no individual in the history of the state of New York has been found guilty of that domestic terrorism charge motivated by hate until today. Justice has been done today. I guess so. I can't help thinking it would have been better if the minute that this little racist shitbird had turned 18, he hadn't been able to go out and buy an AR-15, but I guess I'm just funny that way. Because after all, I'm failing to take into account the hordes of pasty-faced, doughy old white men who desperately need to stroke their AR-15s in order to feel more like men again. And that's who the Second Amendment protects. Yes. Here's the thing, though. While the DA said justice has been done today, well, he's also, because Attorney General Merrick Garland's DOJ stepped in and performed an investigation, and they have filed federal hate crime charges. Against Peyton Gendron. Three counts of hate crime involving bodily injury and attempt to kill, and 13 counts of firearms offenses. Some of those charges could carry the horizontal crucifixion penalty. And I find myself... Well, I've long said I'm an opponent of the death penalty, but for reasons of the, don't get mad, don't send the hate mail yet. I've long said that I am not a proponent of the death penalty because it does not do what it seeks to do or claims to seek to do, namely to reduce the likelihood of other such crimes. But this feels more like a there's nothing about mitigation or prevention here. This is pure retribution. If he is convicted on the federal charges and if he gets the death penalty, he will, of course, then have years to exhaust his remedies thereunder. I guess the hope is that by him pleading guilty, and maybe there's been some sort of down-low conversation, you never know, between the feds and the Erie County District Attorney and the defense counsel. Maybe the thinking is if he pleads guilty to the brand new New York hate crime terrorism law and gets life without parole in the New York system, then maybe the DOJ will go away and leave this. I can't imagine the DOJ doing that. But maybe. But I couldn't help thinking in this context. I couldn't help thinking about Andy Aldrich out there in Colorado Springs. Yeah. Because Peyton Gendron, like I said, is facing federal hate crimes charges. Based upon the fact that he cased the grocery store to make sure there were going to be plenty of African-American people in there for him to slaughter. After all, Peyton Gendron left a note. Online. He cited the Great Replacement. It's not a theory. It's a paranoid conspiracy notion that, of course, has been peddled relentlessly by testicle-toasting Tuckio Rose Tucker Carlson time after time after time after time after time. So he said that he was doing, he was going to go and slaughter African American people in Buffalo, New York, to prevent white people from being replaced by other ethnicities. He shot 13 people. 10 of them died. The 10 who died were all black. So frankly, I hope the DOJ doesn't walk away from this. I hope they push to kill him. And frankly, horizontal crucifixion seems entirely too gentle. And I'm engaging in some revenge fantasies, retributive fantasies of my own, and I probably shouldn't be doing that, but no, that's wrong. It's wrong. What I'm thinking right now is wrong. Horizontally crucify him, burn his body, and scatter his ashes to the four fucking winds. But again, I can't stop thinking about Colorado Springs, and I can't stop thinking about Club Q, and I can't stop thinking about Andy Aldrich. And I really would like to know why he chose that name. You know, he changed his name to get away from having the same name as his toxic meth head father after his father participated in that reality program Intervention. And the two did not get along. But in the meantime, more stuff has come out about Andy. And it's not... Oh, my goodness. So, Radar Online found some video of Andy Aldrich and his mama. Sorry. I'm not going to play this non-binary horseshit. I'm not saying non-binary is horseshit. I'm saying he is not non-binary, and it was put out by his lawyers, and there is no evidence to suggest that he ever was. But anyway, back before he was non-binary in any right, Andy Anderson Lee Aldrich and his mama got off a plane in Denver, Colorado this past July. And Andy and his mama, Laura Vopel, got into a verbal tussle, and a Frontier Airlines passenger named Maria Martinez videoed it. And, of course, it's every bit as ugly as you might expect. What's really odd is that, and I've looked throughout the day, the actual video. I went to KDVR, who has a story about it, video. The headline says, exclusive video, plane passengers say, ah, there it is, stand by. So they get off the plane in Denver, and apparently they've been shitbirding all along.
Martinez had had enough when she started recording Anderson Aldrich and his mother.
Well, I'm going to leave the damn fight, you dumb fat ass.
Shut up!
You shut up.
What are you going to do? Shut up!
Keep following me and I'm going to f*** you up.
So it's just crazy to think that this man had so much hate and he threatened me. And he clearly said he's going to f*** me up.
Even with a face mask, Maria Martinez and her daughter, Kayla, immediately recognized Aldridge as the man now charged with killing 5 and injuring 17 at Club Q, partly because they remember what they told each other after the July 31st flight home to Denver.
Even my friend was like, we won't be surprised like if he's a mass shooter. And it was like scary to think that.
I was having a hard time getting my luggage down. And all of a sudden, I just hear this woman say, hurry the f*** up, you b***h. And that's when I turned around and said, excuse me.
Tanya DeLeo is the family friend who says it was Aldridge's mom, Laura Vopel, who started with the racist language, and Anderson Aldridge who continued it when an African-American passenger tried to de-escalate tensions.
He tried to kind of stop the fight and turn around and told me, like, hey, bro, like, there's no need for that. And he also told him to shut the f*** up, you f***ing bitch.
He seems very hateful.
Yeah, like he's like just evil. Like just being in the presence of him, like I could just feel like the hate. He just seems like he just has hate deep down in his heart.
He's got hate. And just by see his mom's behavior too, I can see where he gets it from. She's the one that started with the racial slur.
And you're saying she was obnoxious the whole flight?
She was obnoxious the whole flight. She literally made the crew remove a young lady with her baby that were sitting behind her because she was complaining about the baby.
We had a conflict with a mass shooter is like very scary and traumatic. Yeah, it's surreal.
As you're getting off the plane, what do you hear Anderson say?
I wish I can shoot all of you right now.
Of course, less than 4 months later, investigators say Aldridge did go on a shooting spree. The woman we just spoke with tell us they were disappointed that the flight crew for Frontier Airlines, who they insisted all of this commotion, didn't confront Aldridge or Aldridge's mother and have security waiting when the plane landed. Rob Lowe, Fox 31.
All right.
How about that? More red flags. Yeah. That dude's about as, well, non-binary as, yeah. And I still say I know why he did it. I know why they're making that claim. Because they don't have the trans and gay panic defenses to fall back on. Yeah, but Robin, says Jeremy in Vermont, my son's not gay. The LDS don't get down. The LDS don't get that. Sure, he killed 6 people, but he ain't gay. Whew. Yeah, you left out the... Whew. He's not gay. Whew. He's just a mass murderer. Whew. So the bottom line is that... when I saw the story about Peyton Gendron and the fact that he's facing the death penalty because of federal charges, I know investigations take time, but check me, please. I haven't seen even a press release or anything coming from the DOJ saying we're going to investigate this as a hate crime. Did I miss that? If I missed it, I want to be correct, or I want to be corrected. But I don't think I missed it. I don't think it's been said. And it needs to be said. Because for as much good, and let's make no bones about it, the Biden administration has been more accepting of the LGBTQ community than any other presidential administration in the history of this country. And being accepting of the LGBTQ community, well, kind of begins with Barack Obama, and then so it's a short list, but still, President Biden has been actually fairly impressive on this. And well, I'm just, I guess I'm struggling. Because I'm wondering, Are there even civil rights violations available as charges for the DOJ that apply to the LGBTQ community? He was murdering people because they were gay and trans. I don't know if our civil rights are even valid in that regard. Because remember, things like when they tried to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, Republicans refused to go along with it, Republicans in the Senate, because the Violence Against Women Act included acts of domestic violence against trans women. So while I've been saying, gee, I hope the DOJ will bring hate crimes charges against Andy Aldrich on a federal level, I don't know if that's available to them. I don't know if the LGBTQ community counts in that regard. Do you? Kind of like to know. So, good on the DOJ in New York, and I'm glad there's a guilty plea. And the motivation behind it was that it would spare the grieving families the torment of a trial. The victims' families will get to speak to the court prior to sentencing. Their voices will be heard. But honestly, I don't know if the feds get in, where Peyton Gendron has the possibility of the death penalty, I don't know if that possibility exists for Andy Aldrich. Okay, well, thank you, Steve, in New York. Looks like the DOJ's done it before. Oregon man charged with federal hate crime after attacking gay man. Well, then there's some precedent charged with. I wonder if he was convicted. Attempted murder. That's pretty clear cut. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the on-the-fly horn ad hoc research, legal research department help. And thank you, Jack. Thank you to Jack in Shreveport. We are now only $20 away from having met Charlene in Rogues Island's challenge. And so that's humongous. $20 more dollars, and we're down to $16.25 to try to keep this little effort afloat through, until we have to try again. It's a constant struggle. I get to wear my kilt. Okay, further details on that. This is giving me a little bit of hope. 18 U.S.C. Section 249, the Shepard-Byrd Act, the first statute allowing federal criminal prosecution of hate crimes motivated by the victim's actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. The act makes it a federal crime to willfully cause bodily injury or attempt to do so using a dangerous weapon because of the victim's actual or perceived race, color, religion, or national origin. The act also covers crimes committed because of the actual or perceived religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability of any person if the crime affected interstate or foreign commerce or occurred within federal, special, maritime, or territorial jurisdiction. That's the limitation on it? Interstate or foreign affected? Well, there were probably, I don't know. Yeah, there was somebody from out of state that got murdered at Club Q. Ralph says, come on, everybody, don't make me sick lassie on y'all. And don't make her send the kitty after your blinds. You don't want to replace your blinds. Thank you, Ralph. So, what else? There's more else. We've got one of those moments, one of those brave, bold moments of patriotism. Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican of Louisiana town. He was one of only seven Republicans who voted to convict Nitwit Nero in the second impeachment, you might recall. He went on Twitter, Senator Cassidy did, and said, President Trump hosting racist anti-Semites for dinner encourages other racist anti-Semites. These attitudes are immoral and should not be entertained. This is not the Republican Party. Wrong! Wrong! Oh my God! Senator Bill Cassidy, you're so wrong! That is your party! That's so the Republican Party now. And Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson and Chris Krispy Kreme, they condemned Nitwit Nero for dining with Nick Fuentes and the Definite article. Yeah, this is not the Republican Party. Except it is. I mean, there was old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, kicking off his 1980 presidential campaign fresh from receiving the GOP nomination. He kicked it off in Neshoba County, Mississippi, at the fairgrounds, with a speech that wasn't so much dog whistles as bullhorns, scant miles away from where three civil rights workers were murdered by the Klan in Mississippi. Yeah, pardon me if I'm... And he got roasted. Lord, he got roasted. And the thing is, everything up to these attitudes are immoral and should not be entertained, period. Leave the tweet there and you're good, Senator. This is not the Republican Party. Just turns it into a bad joke. Plain and simple. Yeah, I think it's probably safe to say that Senator Cassidy got himself right ratioed. Yeah, as Stephen New York put it, so, Asa Hutchinson's lamenting Orange Voldemort dining with Nick Fuentes because tightly clutching pearls, oh my land, how dare a Republican dining with a racist and anti-Semite. Clearly, he's never heard of Ronnie Neshoba County Raygun or George Willie Horton Bush or Turd Blossom or Lee Atwater or George McCain had a black child Bush. When will the media call them out and point out Orange Voldemort's not an anomaly? He's the Frankenstein they created. By the way, that was a rhetorical question. No answer needed. And Jack in Shreveport reminds us Senator Cassidy got censured by the Louisiana Republican Party for his vote on the impeachment. I forgot the precise name of the committee or whatever. It was probably the Louisiana Republican Party or the Republican Committee of Louisiana or something. Yeah, it was the actual Republican Party. You're right. You're right, Jack. The So, on one other thing, this, I got to admit, this kind of triggered me a little bit. People are pissed off in Houston, and they deserve to be. People who live in Houston are under a boil water advisory right now. Houston being the largest city in the state of Texas. 2.2 million of them there are. Houstonians. A water purification plant there had a power outage, and the East Water Purification Plant in Galena Park, 10:30 a.m. Sunday. Water pressure fell below the minimum required pressure of 20 psi. And 6 hours later, the city of Houston issued an advisory and said, a boil water notice has been issued for the city of Houston. Everyone should boil the water before drinking, cooking, bathing, and brushing their teeth. Let it cool after you've boiled it before you go to brushing your teeth or bathing in it. No, I added that part. And so a lot of people didn't even get the notice till Sunday night, and they'd been drinking along on it. And journalist Jose de Jesus Ortiz asked, how and why in the hell did Houston officials wait until around 8 p.m. to tell citizens there was a power outage at a water plant in the morning? And the reason I said I was kind of triggered by this, I remember back in 2014, 8 years ago, when state and city government sat around with their thumbs up their butts while a toxic coal cleaning chemical pumped through the water system of 300,000 West Virginians in 9 counties. How about that? It takes 9 counties of West Virginia to come up with 300,000 people, but 2.2 million people in Houston. But it's still the same principle at work. Now, in this case, it could have just been, it could be something like, you know, Giardia or just, you know, some nasty little bacterial. But even to this day, those 300,000 people are still participating in an involuntary epidemiological level study of what happens when methyl cyclohexane methanol is consumed by children and adults. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, hours and hours and hours and hours, while mamas were bathing babies and making coffee and Kool-Aid and washing hands and wondering why everything smelled like licorice, and then they started throwing up. Yeah. A geologist in the Houston area, Clint Barnett, said, City of Houston has everyone's email address. It has a water bill. We all pay it online. It's beyond unacceptable that we don't have an email from them saying there's a boil notice. No fucking excuse. And a local meteorologist, Casey Curry, said, seriously, low water pressure this morning and you're just now letting us know to boil our water because it's unsafe? Would have been nice to know before my little girl showered, drank water from the tap, and brushed her teeth this evening. But now we know the reason. You know how Republicans hate that big government and big government regulations, job-killing regulations? Yeah. Well, the director of Houston's Public Works, Carol Haddock, said, we have to consult with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and review data about the water before notifying the public. And by the way, there ain't no evidence of contamination. The reason we're doing the water boil notice is it's a regulatory requirement. It was issued out of abundance of caution. Yeah. So let's see. Republican state government in Mississippi can't make sure that people have safe drinking water. Republican state government in Texas can't make sure people have safe drinking water. After a while, it begins to resemble a pattern. Something in there might be a clue. Maybe it's the word Republican, because the Republicans were in charge of the freedom disaster here in West Virginia, too, I might add, back in 2014. Funny how that all works out. Dangdest thing. Yeah. Well, we're halfway through the program. We've got $20 to go to meet Charlene's challenge. She is a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and a founding member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Hopefully, you will take her up on her challenge and get us down to $16.25, and that means that tomorrow, you know, well, maybe we'll only have to raise $800. Basically, well, it was already at $600. The night to get to the end of the month and, you know, maybe make sure the power's not off and the internet's not off. And shit's hard. And I know it is. I do know it is. So anyway, I've filibustered for half the daggum program. Oh, and by the way, Ralph's reminds us, Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, the incoming governor of Arkansas, didn't condemn Nitwit Nero chowing down with a couple of anti-Semites and, you know, at least one Nazi, you know, Nick Fuentes. Not that I would have expected, not that we would have expected her to, right, Ralphs? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Well, hey, what's up?
Did I just hear you say my name?
Yes, I did.
Am I just hearing it? Okay, because I'm kind of in a daze right now. I'm on the both sides and trying not to get run over by the people that are riding my behind. Because
you're not worried about being run over by your car?
Right. No, not by my car. But by other folks' cars.
Because this is, what, 4 weeks now? This is 4 weeks since you haven't been run over by your car?
I think, has it been 4 weeks? Or no, it's 5 weeks.
Five, yes.
I don't know. It's 5 weeks. Yeah. So I've been, and it seems like I've been having issues with people driving Tesla. Now, that's a disparage Tesla owner. But usually when I'm, since they can be in the carpool lane without having another passenger because of electric vehicles. But I had a run-in this morning with a Tesla driver. I was dropping the kids off at school, and I was coming out of the parking lot by rail and then turn into the main part of the parking lot, and I had to ride away. But, Miss Karen and her Tesla decided just to turn in front of me, and And I did that motion that you do when people cut you off and they can see your face and your body language. And I did that shrug, like, what the hell, man? And she gave me this look, like, and then she's like, how dare I, a black woman, show any, disdain or being upset by, Karen and her Tesla. And so then I said, okay, look, so she cut me off. I said, okay, look, let's move along thing. And then she got pissed at me because I did the motion for let's go, because now you stopped me and everybody else from moving. Can we go now? And she wouldn't move. So I'm like, I did the thing like again, shrugged my shoulders, put my hand up, the WTF motion. And then she proceeded, wait for it. She took a picture of me in my cab. And I'm like,
really,
okay.
Karen?
And really, Karen? Because what are you going to do, complain that I motioned for you to move while you were blocking traffic? Oh, and wait for it. And guess what her license plate? Because, of course, she has a vanity plate, of course. And you know what the vanity plate
tell.
Said?
Do tell.
Just for me.
Natch.
So I called Dan.
Yeah,
I said,
yeah, all the interstates, all the highways, all of everything, just for her.
Just for me. And I'm like, oh, that license plate summed up the whole experience. So I called Jan because, of course, I think I scared her because I was, because there's only one way in, one way out of the parking lot in the morning because they have, there's two different ways, but when the kids, when people are coming in, they only have the one way in and then the one way out. And so I was right behind her. And so as she turned on a side street and I turned behind her. Now I was not following her. That's the way I always go. And when she saw that I was following her, she made a U-turn and went the other back in the opposite direction. And it took everything I had not to, I almost did a U-turn to follow her, right?
But then decided not to go to jail. Yes.
Right. And that's what, because black women, you know, driving around. Like the other day, Saturday, that's Saturday or whatever was my airport day, and it was late. And I took.
Oh, no, a traffic jam.
Right. And I took this white guy to Santa Monica, right? And Google, the algorithm, for whatever the reason, it hasn't shown, changed the algorithm to let people know that you can't turn left from Colorado onto side streets because of the light rail, right? And so the guy's like, oh, go ahead and turn left. There's nobody coming. And I turned around and said, sweetie, I'm a black woman driving at night in Santa Monica. I said, the cops are just waiting for me to do something stupid. I said, and he looked at, because when I say these things and people get shot, I said, I'm black, regardless, because they're not going to see you in the back of the car, cab, they're going to see me driving. And they're looking for any excuse to pull me over. And that's, because they have one of the signs, no U-turn, no left turn. I said, sweetie, no, we'll figure out a way to get around. But then I said, buddy, you live here. Didn't you know that I couldn't turn left here? Why wouldn't you just tell me to go straight down the street and come back around on another street? He's like, yeah, I guess I forgot. I'm like, uh-huh. Because I said, you really thought I was going to make that left turn, didn't you? I'm like, no. So I tell people, I tend to remind my white passengers, I said, I cannot do the same things that you do because driving while black. So no, we will follow the traffic rules and I will get you home. But I am not making any illegal U-turns. I am not making any illegal left turns, you know. And you will pay for me having to go out of my way to get you home. But it's those things about that white privilege and stuff, because it's like, he figured, well, you know, I never get pulled over when I make that left turn. I'm like, well, good for you, but I will. I said, they're sitting there somewhere. You know, it's like, years back when, after Michael Jackson died, and I think I told you the story about the crazy woman that I picked up, and she wanted to go to Michael Jackson's house. It was another late night thing. And she just, once we found the house, she wanted to get out the car and go knock on the door. And I said, sweetie, we are two black. And I said, if you get out this cab, I am not waiting for you. I said, we are two black women driving around Encino at night. The police have already been called. I don't put myself into these situations, knowingly, because sometimes you get yourself into, unwittingly into situations where you have no control and, the racism takes over. I said, so I tried very, 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 very hard not to put myself in situations where A, I'm going to get a ticket, or B, you know, get attacked or anything else because, you know, driving while black. That part. So how you do?
Oh, it's Monday. It's Monday.
I know. And how was your Thanksgiving, sweetie?
Oh, we had a very nice evening. You know, of course, I was on the air Thursday and on the air Friday, and then we just sort of lazied the weekend away. And it was nice. Thursday was one of the most beautiful days I've seen this time of year in forever around here.
Didn't you say it was gorgeous, like clear and like 60-something degrees?
Yeah,
or
not a cloud in the sky, 65 degrees, running around in shirt sleeves and just, you know.
See, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, Jan and I, it wasn't quite sunny. It wasn't like overly cloudy. It was kind of a hazy day for us here in La La Land, but Dad and I, you know, we did a buffet, a Thanksgiving buffet, and it was nice. It was kind of pricey, but the thought of, you know, just knowing that I can come home, I don't think I did, because I ate myself into oblivion. It was not pretty, but they had, you know, the carving station with the turkey and the prime rib and, you know, Mongolian barbecue station. It was wonderful. But as soon as I came home, I put on my pajamas and I think I fell asleep. I don't know. But it just knowing that I didn't have to put away leftovers. Now, the only problem is there were no leftovers. There was no dressing or mac and cheese or, you know, candy yams, sans marshmallows and raisins and all that other crap. Yeah, I said it. I know you're going to get hate mail. I know. But...
just remember what makes A1 sauce so wonderful is the fact that it's made with raisins.
You just couldn't resist it.
You said the R word first. I didn't.
But how are you going to mess up A1 sauce? Come on. It's like,
it's right there on the label.
Wait a minute. Are you seriously saying that there's raisins in A1 sauce, or are you just messing with me because I can't Google it?
It's the God's honest truth. A1, part of the consistency of A1 is the fact that it's made with pureed raisins.
Pureed raisins aren't actually eating raisins. You don't have that consistency. Like I love the flavor of coconut. Will I eat a Mounds or Almond Joy? No. Will I eat a German chocolate cake? No. Because I remember the first time Jan was going to make ambrosia, and she said something about putting coconuts in it. And I'm like, I will leave you right here now if you even put any coconut anywhere near at ambrosia. So don't act all brand new like we've never had the coconut discussion.
No, we absolutely have.
You know, don't act all brand new and act like, oh my God, yet another thing.
Jack in Shreveport, yeah, A1, I'll attest to the truth of the raisins and also anchovies.
Well, see, I will murder a Caesar salad, but not a Caesar salad with the, you know, the dressing made from anchovy paste or what have you. Again, I'm not eating a straight up anchovy. Not gonna happen. Why do you people torture me so?
Ingredients.
I ever done?
A1, this is courtesy of Ralph's as the Horn Ad Hoc Steak Sauce Research Department. Tomato puree, vinegar, corn syrup, salt, raisin paste, crushed orange puree, spice, dried garlic, caramel color, dried onions, potassium sorbate, xanthan gum, celery seed. Jack, there's no anchovies in there.
Well,
Probably didn't have room enough because of all the raisin paste. That's all right. More for me.
Yeah, like I said, you know. Oh, speaking of beef, remember I sent you the picture of that standing rib roast, the Brie Bone standing rib roast?
Yes.
Jan made it last night for dinner.
And?
Oh, my God, Robin. It almost brought a tear to my eye. When we have scalloped potatoes and asparagus. And she didn't cook the hell out of the asparagus. My wife has this thing about cooking cooking all the nutrients out of any vegetable. Like when she cooks it, you can hear them screaming like, no, please, no, no. No. She actually cooked it in such a way that there was still some life in it. It wasn't this, you know, vegetable mush. So it was superb. It was, oh my gosh. And so as a matter of fact, she's going to go tomorrow to Ralph's because yes, that prime rib roast, we got it for $7.99 a pound.
Yeah, that's the part that just makes me cry.
Oh God, Robert. I got a three-bone standing rib roast for $32.
Nah, that's stealing.
That is
freaking stealing.
Yeah, look, I had to look around and make sure I wasn't being punked. Okay.
Yeah, it's too much to hope that you would have some Yorkshire pudding to go with that. But a girl can dream.
No, but I did have creamy horseradish sauce.
Yeah, love it.
You know, and the au jus on the beef, and it was perfect. So,
oh, and by the way, you just reminded me of something. If you're ever in a jam for, because who among us have not ever been in a jam for horseradish sauce? You know, but you just. The horseradish sauce that they sell at Honey Baked Ham.
Oh, really?
Is for real. And I mean,
for real though?
Yeah, no. I mean, it'll make your eyeballs ache. It's so horseradishy.
It's like the hot mustard from Felipe's.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my feet. The man that my mom's second husband was a sadist, so. The first time I went to Felipe's, I was maybe 5 or 6 years old, so I've been going to this place for pretty much over for.
Oh, that's yeah, that's on my LA bucket list.
Oh yeah, it is. And so I go, and this is when they used to still have sawdust on the floor. That's how this is, you know, and it's, you know, communal dining, the long tables, and you know, people all sit together, what have you, and so. I wanted, you know, and they put, you know, this is when they still would keep like mustard and stuff on the tables and stuff before, you know, people started caring about herbs. So I get my, you know, I get the mustard and I slather it on the sandwich. Now my stepfather's sitting there watching it. Watch me do this. You know, because we had never been there before. This is the first time my mom had ever been. Well, I don't know. But I don't think my mom was paying attention, but so watching me as I did it. And I'm slathering the mustard on, and Robin, one bite, and my ears started burning. My nose, my throat's closed, and I'm like, I couldn't breathe. It was so hot. And he thought it was funny. A 5-year-old coughing and choking on hot mustard was funny. Does that kind of give you a glimpse of my childhood?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a little different in that regard because the first time and it's hot. The first time I think the first thing I ever remember tasting and just really. having it resonate with me was a hot dog from Dick House Pit Barbecue. I couldn't have been more than three or four. And I didn't cry when that burn came on. I was like, wow, give me another one.
Well, because you're special. And I think that might have messed me up about hot food. You know what I'm saying? Because because I've never had anything that hot before. So that's probably what messed me up about spicy food. Because I won't mess with it. I mean, now I still do the hot mustard, but I put it on sparingly. Just because I don't know if they make their own mustard, but they sell it, right? It has the Felipe's, logo on it. So again, I don't know if they actually sell it or if they, if it's bottled. I mean, I don't know if they make it themselves. That's what I'm trying to say. And so it was just like, but it was so cool. Now, so here's the thing, Felipe does this thing. I think they started this around the pandemic. So they have the family four pack. So what they do, they give you the four rolls, and then they give you a container of the au jus. You get four salads, enough meat for four sandwiches, and four pieces of cheese. And so you can, which is nice because a lot of times what happens is, especially as far as I live from the Felipe, when I order sandwiches, by the time I get them home, they're still good because Felipe's, but not quite as good as if, they're warm and they're a little kind of soggy and stuff like that. So once they started doing the family pack, and I'll pack separately, and now they can even, ship Felipe's across the country. So you never know. There might be one day in your future.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
The Felipe, because I don't know. I mean, it couldn't be that bad to ship, but yeah. So I don't know when they started shipping nationwide, and it's really simple to warm up. You warm up the au jus, and then you put the meat in it. You toast the bun slightly. And then you dip the bun in the juice, and then you put the meat and the cheese up. And their potatoes, they have the old school, potato salad, macaroni salad, and coleslaw. Oh, and they make the pickles are homemade as well. And you get, two pickles sliced in half. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That part. Oh, it's so wonderful. And because the sandwiches alone, stuff is so high now, so the sandwiches, I think run about almost like $14. But the family pack, because you get four salads, you get cheese, you get the buns, the French rolls, and the meat and all that. And the meat is substantial. And it's $60. So really, for four people to eat, not a bad deal. I mean, as far as LA standards are concerned, especially after, my whole debacle about this. I told you about the spaghetti dinner that I had, or did I?
I think
about
you did.
That I went to the 18% discharge.
No, oh my God, what?
So, and I actually wrote a review. I never write a review on Yelp, but for this people, I have to write a review. So there's this restaurant here in L.A. It's a chain. There's two other locations, one in North Fairfax, and one in Brentwood, and then there's one in View Park, Baldwin Hills area. And so I've been driving by this place, and I've been wanting to try it, but every time I drive by, there's nowhere to park and or it's crowded. And I'm like, I don't wait for food, especially when I'm hungry. But on Tuesday, Saturday, I decided, I'm working. I got to, I have to, I did all this stuff previously, and so I'm like, I'm going to have a nice meal before I go to the airport. So I see the sign about this 18% service charge. So in my mind, I'm thinking that the 18% service charge goes, is, you know, for the server, right? So I didn't think anything of it. So I ordered, which was probably one of them. It was so good. It was so fresh. It was, I got the pasta, spaghetti basil, but, you know, and everything is locally sourced. The pasta is made from scratch, and it was really good. But when they brought me my, and, like they had freshly crushed tomatoes, and you could taste the basil, and you could taste the Parmesan cheese. Robin, when they brought me my plate, I was making sure that I wasn't being punked, because the plate was, I kid you not, the size of a salad plate. And I'm like, well, nobody told me this would be small bites. So I'm like, whatever, it's good. So I asked for extra Parmesan cheese. I'm at an Italian restaurant. Most people do ask for Parmesan cheese. So the waiter asked, said, well, it's a $2 service. It's a $2 charge.
They upcharge the
Parmesan cheese. They up this.
They better be. They better be wheeling that stuff in from Parma.
Okay, and so they upcharge the Parmesan cheese, and I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not tripping. You know, I had a lemonade. Now the lemonade was probably, I did taste fresh squeeze. It was $6, but at least you did get refills, right? So I ate my pasta. The pasta plate was like $19.75, and I was still kind of miffed. You know, I'm already miffed about the, you know, the side that they charged me for Parmesan cheese at the restaurant. And then, you know, I was like, really, $19.75, and like this small tasting plate, and so, and the lemonade. But I'm like, okay, no deal. So the young man, my way, I asked for the check. And so the young man brought me the check, and on top of the, on the, you know, the little tray that they bring you your, you know, your bill on, your check. And so the young man begins to inform me that the 18% service charge is not a gratuity, Robin.
What the hell is it?
Oh, it's okay. So since I'm driving and I can't read,
so like, I mean, do they have like market? I mean, like, you know, you get lobster or something. Like this is, you know, filet mignon, market price spaghetti.
No, right, right. And so, I, see, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to send you a picture of my check and. the explanation as to why, because you know, I took a picture of it because I was dumbfounded. I was gobsmacked. You know, I just sent you, but I, you know, so please read the, and I, because I need you to read it in your best whatever voice, the first one that, you know, the green, is it written in green ink about the 18% service charge? This is, you know, you have to read this to the rest of the family.
Okay.
So
I got
you can
here.
Understand. Mm-hmm.
Well, please note that John and Vinny's adds an 18% service charge to each guest check. The service charge is not a gratuity and enables the restaurant to provide equitable wages to all of our employees, including hourly and salaried front and back of house team members. Importantly, 100% of the service charge goes towards our team members' wages. If you choose to leave a gratuity, the suggested tip amounts go directly to our hourly staff working today. It is our belief that every hourly employee contributes to your service and the overall guest experience. Thanks for coming in.
And then now look at the check. That shows the tip suggestions. And look at what the percentage starts at.
8%.
Mm-hmm.
To 15%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I read that right, the owners are getting a chunk of that 18% upcharge.
Yes. Because you know, I mean, the owners are they have made themselves employees of the corporation, yeah, right?
We're talking Johnny and Vinny, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here's where we go, and like how you were talking about, you know, Republicans not being this and being this. Is this part of the free market where you can charge 18%? And it's not a good, because I've gone to restaurants where they automatically put the tip on, especially when it's a large party, because a lot of times, you know, service get, you know, jerked around. And I have no problems with that unless the server was horrible. And then I say something, but this young man was an excellent server. And he's like, well, because when he gave me the bill and I read it, and I said, he's like, yeah, it's an 18% service charge. And I said, on top of the bill, did I have to tip you? He's like, oh, no, ma'am, you don't have to tip me. I'm like, sweetie, I'm not going to tip you. And I know that was a double negative. But it's like, I felt like, I mean, first of all, here are these white people, because it's two white guys that own the restaurant, the chain, you know, the chain or what have you. You got black folks working in the, you know, pretty much mid to upscale neighborhood, okay? There's people who don't live that far that aren't, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, how dare you? How dare you? I mean, like I said, the food was good. I enjoyed my pasta, but that's it. It was just pasta, Robin. There was no bread. There was no salad. There was no soup. That was just for the pasta. And remember, they upcharged me $2 for the Parmesan. So I did something that I never really ever do. I went on Yelp and wrote a review. And I basically said, it's like, you know, I've been driving by this place for months and I decided to stop. I put on the next line, I should have kept driving. And I just talk about all the things. I said, why don't you just pay, you know, first of all, maybe increase your portion. Maybe charge a little bit more so you can pay your employees. And how dare you let the base of the tip start off at 8%? Are you kidding me? So that was what, a $2 tip? Really? Really? Oh, Robin, you know, I was, what is it, hotter than fish grease?
Yes.
Because I'm just like, I don't, you know, I have gone to some pretty, hell, I've been to two of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants, Hell's Kitchen, and there's another one in Vegas. Robin, there was no 18% surcharge to eat at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. I've been to Martin. No 18% surcharge. I've been to Nobu, which is like, you know, the creme de la creme of the shishi. I got money, sushi restaurant, definitely was not paying for that night. But still, there was no 18% service charge just for the privilege of eating at said restaurant. And some bull crap about this is to provide our employees equitable wages. So why should I be paying 18% so you can pay your employees? And like you said, I would love to be and see the breakdown at the end of the day of how much of that money actually goes to the employee. You know, I'm like, oh no, I will never. So at the end of my review, because see, I was actually considering going to the Olive Garden because I was really in the mood for pasta. And I'm like, you know what? I'll treat myself.
You know, I'm going to say something semi-heretical.
Go ahead.
I like Olive Garden.
I do, too. And for $20, sis, because I was looking at the prices, for $20 at the Olive Garden, I would have gotten a four plate of pasta, okay?
And you can get it to go for $5 extra.
Yes! So, So how it ended up for $40, right? Because that basically, once they threw on that 18% of the tip that I gave the young man, I spent $40 on another thing I said in my review, I've seen larger portions on a child's plate. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing, because, you know, we both love food, okay? Food is our thing, and that's pretty much, you know, the we love food. That is our mantra, and I'm pretty sure the majority of the members of our Horn family congregation feel the same way, okay? We are foodies. So, because there was another review that I read, and the person wrote about they ordered chicken parmesan. Now, when you order chicken bill, eggplant, parmesan, what usually comes with it, Robin?
Pasta.
A side of what?
Biscotti.
Not here. Biscotti? No. Not at John and Vinny's, sweetum. If you want pasta to go with said chicken bill.
Girl, you are at war with these people.
I don't usually go to war with people on Yelp, but I'm like, people need to know. People need to know. Because typically, I usually read Yelp reviews, but the one time I didn't, because had I read the Yelp review before I went in there, because that was the crux of the majority of the reviews. Food's good, service is great. However, the 18% service charge is some bull. And I would not have gone, especially considering the, because that's another thing I said. I've never gone to an Italian restaurant and had pasta and didn't have leftovers. Never. Because literally, I was finished eating that in maybe four.
Because skillet reheated pasta is heaven.
That part, sis. That part. Oh my God, you know me so well. Oh, you get me.
I've been hankering for homemade spaghetti. My homemade spaghetti that I homemade for weeks.
Was that a hankering?
No, it's a terrible hankering. Angel hair. That Italian tomato paste in the tube, the Italian tomatoes in the can.
Yes. And here's the best part. Remember, I
raisins.
Told you the pasta that I have. See, I'm already upset. And then what do you do? Salt in the proverbial room, and you're talking about damn raisins. Hey, this is why we can't have nice things.
Hey, I use red wine. It's raisin juice.
But I just, like I said, I've never, and so when I wrote, at the end of the, you know, speaking of Olive Garden, I said at the end of the review, I said next time, I'm just going to keep, because that literally is the Olive Garden down the street at the bottom of the hill on Swanson in the Fox Hills Mall. And I said next time, I will keep driving, you know, west on Swanson, and I will go to the Olive Garden, because at least for $20 at the Olive Garden, I'm going to get a full plate of pasta with leftovers, and all I can eat breadsticks and soup and or salad. Oh my God! I bet you, John and Betty are a couple of freaking hipsters. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet?
Dude,
you're millennial hipster.
Dude, you're in LA.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that you should know. It's like, come on, you got to bargain. $20 for a plate of pasta for real.
But at least I know in L.A. I can get a custom skin for my casket when the time comes. You sent.
I was wondering. I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
It's going to be Tinkerbells and anime cat girls.
Why not, Robin? Oh, and they will. You, it's not. I mean, they are based here in L.A., but apparently they have sent castings. I don't in different parts of the country. So you too may have, but see, it's called, you know, L.A. rap, and yes, they do. So one part of the business is for the caskets, and the other part is for cars.
Well, see, I just see 1,000 years down the road when, you know, we're doing customized body modifications, and they dig me up, and they're like, "This is going to be one big ass cat girl." Wait a minute, that ain't no cat. Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh, Robin. When I saw that, I'm like, because I it's one of those places when I'm driving on Crenshaw, I see it every day, right? And so I'm like, nah, maybe I'm reading it wrong. And so just the other day, the day that I was sitting around kind of bored, so I looked up casket wraps, and there they were.
You know, that term casket wrap, you know, at first I thought it was like going to be some like ultra super greasy hamburger with fried chicken.
Right.
You remember when they were doing hamburgers between two donuts?
Right.
Yeah. You know, heart attack on it. Yeah.
I thought that's what it,
you know. Come into Five Guys for the new casket wrap.
Right. Actually, there was in Old Town Vegas, or Downtown Vegas or whatever, on Fremont Street. There was a place that did these ginormous hamburgers, and they would actually weigh the people. The waitresses were dressed up in nurses' uniforms, and they had a defibrillator, and that was the running joke. That, you know, these burgers, because of the size of the burgers, could possibly cause a heart attack. So, yes, you know, you see something that causes a casket wrap, you're thinking, okay, what kind of L.A. cheesy crazy food thing is this? Nope, sis. It was the actual casket wrap. And of course, they're on Crenshaw, because only on Crenshaw would there be a casket wrap. I sent the picture. I sent the link to my mother, and she's like, "I will come back and haunt you if when I die, you wrap my casket." Now, did you check out the website? Did you see the pricing?
Yeah. No.
$2,000.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
Then they had all no, and
no,
then,
no yeah, right. See, just acquiring the Viking ship to set fire to with me on it and set it out to sea is going to be expensive enough.
Right. I mean, if you got a burn wrench, why even go through all that trouble? But seriously, I mean, caskets alone are not are expensive as all get out, and then you're going to add another $2,000 on top of that bill. And I'm just thinking, this is capitalism at its best. I mean, how? I think that's kind of, you know, exploitative. I mean, am I wrong? I mean, okay. I'm not mad at these people because they know us. They know folks. And so they know that people, especially my folks, when it comes to funerals, they go all out, even if they can't afford the funeral. These people are going to be, you know, in the finest of the finest and all this there, so forth and so on. So it stands to reason that would have, you know, that somebody is going to be an entrepreneur. Yes, I said that. And come up with a way to separate folks from their money.
Now, my question is, if this was available in your neck of the woods with the hillbillies, would they? Because I was like, wait a minute, this can't just be for black people. It just cannot be.
Well, you know, I mean, because, if we could afford it, yeah.
Okay, so this would not, you know, if you could, but even if, okay, no, the question I should ask as far as, you know, funerals, do you guys go all full on out like we do for, like, you know, black folks that can and have done?
No, it depends. It depends. It's usually if it's older folks, it's kind of just a somber, low-key affair, you know. It's not like we have Baptist wedding punch or anything with the sherbet floating in it. Granny's gone.
I missed that. I'm sorry. That used to be the same, man. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then, you know, our youngins, no, we don't. It's pretty, usually pretty low key, and then you just go off and drink in a corner somewhere.
Right. Is it brown liquor?
Depends.
At the funeral?
Depends. If it's a spring or summer funeral, it could be gin and tonics or, you know, margaritas. Or just pass. All kidding aside, in Appalachia.
I'm talking about passing the bottle. I'm talking about passing the bottle.
Yeah, no.
Do you guys do the brown paper bag?
That's what I was about to say. It as likely as not, it's just a matter of unscrewing the lid on a 1.75 of Jim Beam, throwing the lid away, and saying, we ain't going to need that no more, and drink and pass.
Oh. So it's not, okay, I got you. Okay, sis, because, you know. Because,
you know, with the 1.7, you know, with the 1.75, you know, it's got the handle on the side, and that means you can hook your thumb through it and drink it off your shoulder like it was legitimate, you know, shine in a crockery jug.
So you funny. Quick plan. Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. That's why you get the 1.75. It's got a handle. We're talking about people drinking here. And so you hook your thumb through it, and you lay it across your shoulder, and you turn your head a little bit, and you pass it. Thank God this isn't a video program, okay, because I've just gone through the entire motion.
Now, do you guys do pour off some libations for the homies that aren't with us anymore?
Oh yeah. That's what gets poured in the cap before it gets thrown away. They ain't here. Okay. They ain't getting a lot.
What they need it for? They don't.
It's just a matter of following the basic obsequies. You know, that reminds me of something I was going to mention. I have stashed away, and I'm never going to open it. You remember when I was a script consultant on that series that ran for a couple of seasons on WGN called Outsiders?
Oh, that was such a good show.
Yeah.
Damn them for not reading. I forgot about that until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, and they killed it. They killed it deader than Pharaoh's cat because they thought a Christian outfit was going to buy it, and they didn't want nothing anti-coal on their TV. But anyway, of all things, a friend of mine called and remembered me being a script consultant on it, and it's sitting back in the dining room. I have a quart jar of specifically labeled Outsiders Moonshine.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I do, and you know what? There's three or four bottles left on the shelf yet.
Ooh.
And I ain't never gonna open it, so I'm never gonna drink it, and I'm not gonna buy another one, but
ooh.
Got kind of an Appalachian mountain skyline on us, as seen on WGN, Outsiders Moonshine.
Wow. See, that show should have kept going. Because that was a damn good show. I really, really enjoyed that show. But see, this is, you know, the things why we can't have nice things.
It's just, you know, people be messing it up and stuff like that. Does WGN still exist?
Yeah, I think. They got bought by somebody.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Because they had, you know, I really enjoyed that show. Now I'm going to go see if I can find it on streaming somewhere.
Oh, that's it's out there. Oh. Somewhere.
Somewhere. So, I know we haven't talked about anything serious, which is why I'm talking.
Oh, I got plenty, but I got plenty of it. I got a bunch of serious.
I know, but I wanted to at least kind of lighten the mood, you know, get some food porn in.
Yeah, I want to play the fucking spaghetti, you know? Now. That's on you.
Well, I mean, it could be worse. It could be spaghetti covered in raisins.
That would be better.
What?
Everything's good. Everything's gooder with raisins.
Everything's gooder with raisins. Which one of your daughters hate raisins like I do?
Doodle.
Uh-huh. See, I'm in Camp Doodle.
Team Doodle, I'll tell
Doodle
her.
Doodle got sent. Please tell Doodle that she has her Auntie Tracy out here in L.A. understand and appreciate.
Well, it ain't that far from where you are to Albuquerque.
I've been to Albuquerque. I actually have been to Albuquerque. And how long ago was that? I think this is definitely, I'm pretty sure this is before I started calling into the show. Because had you known that I was going to Albuquerque, you would have made mention of your daughter living there. And I would have said, well, you know, we have to go see her. So that's when my mom and I took Route 66 from Oklahoma all the way back to California.
Ooh, and that was a long drive. Did you feel like a
but
Joad?
But we I know. But see, we had money to stop at hotels. So we stopped in, I flew into Dallas, and then from Dallas, my mom picked me up, and we drove from Dallas to Oklahoma City to visit my cousin. And then from Oklahoma City, we drove back to Texas and stopped in Austin and spent the night in Austin. And then from Austin, Texas, we went from Austin, Texas to Albuquerque, New Mexico to King, whatever, where the Grand Canyon is, and then to Lake Havasu or whatever in Nevada, and then back home. But we stopped and spent the night in places. We didn't drive straight through. It took us because since we didn't drive straight through, it didn't seem like a long time, you know. But it was a wonderful trip. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, but anyway, back to the serious stuff, you know. So I hear you not with the fool that shot up the nightclub saying I heard them the other day about his father saying that, well, you know, we're Mormons, and, you know, Mormons don't do the LGBTQ.
Mormons don't do gay. Mormons don't do gay.
Yeah, but they, you know, but they kidnapped young girls twice, in plain sight from their families and, you know, do all sorts of other stuff. But, you know, there's no such thing as gay Mormons. No! Just like there's no such thing as gay black people. Robin?
No, of course not. But, you know,
there's no gay black people.
Yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, there's no group of aggrieved young LGBTQ Mormons at, you know, Brigham Young University who are raising hell because the university doesn't want them to have an LGBTQ support group, neither.
Right, no.
Yeah. Just confused sister.
See, my question is why? What?
Just confused daddies, okay, and sister wives.
Right, but see, my thing is, I mean, I don't know. I guess since I don't really, I don't deal with really organized religion and stuff like this, I don't understand why people who are, like, openly gay and stuff go to Christian universities in the first place. Or Mormon University, or, you know, like Azusa Pacific out here, or, you know, or Brigham Young and, you know, or Liberty, Liberty, Liberty University.
No,
why?
That's, no. That's no longer pronounced Liberty University. That's pronounced Rebecca University. Becca. Becca. You know, it's not about the consensual. No, it's about the hypocrisy. About standing there in convocation and we must all be pure in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at that. No. That's
no.
All. And I have,
no,
I, and I, have I have still not watched that documentary. I have not.
Well, you know what? I actually took one for the team because I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't wacky. It was disturbing as hell.
It was disturbing as hell, and I was because the way. And see, this is what I hate. It was definitely bait and switch the way they advertised it.
Yeah, because it's all salacious and shit.
Right. Because I was ready. I had my popcorn ready and my soda water. Yes, I said soda water. Listen, I had my soda water ready and all that. And I was ready to be, you know, and hearing the song, let us entertain you. I was ready, not ready, but ready for some shenanigans and hijinks, right? And now it was a very informative and disturbing, but I said, I was ready to laugh my ass off. And I still cheated. Kind of like that plate of pasta for 19 hours. I felt cheated. I was like, I felt used. Because I'm like, I wanted some dirt. I wanted all this. And I didn't get what I was waiting. You know, I'm like. I mean, but it was disturbing. It was just, Nope. So this fool. Oh, and I finally did see the pictures of him on TMZ, how his face was all beat up and,
Did you see all the red marks from where the heel of her pump went into his noggin?
Yes. Yes. And I'm not mad at her. I'm like, get it, sis, get it. I'm really tired of these people, Robin. I'm tired of the bigotry. I'm tired of hate. I'm just done. I'm just tired. I'm just, you know, between that and the, you know, and the fool out here in Whittier that cadet, and they let him go. Because Sheriff, I don't care. I could give a good goddamn anymore, Villanueva, rather, said, oh, no, there wasn't enough evidence. I'm like, huh, what? What is it, huh, Edith? They actually pulled the boy out of the car with his foot still on the accelerator.
Yes.
There's video of him driving into the crowd. I think there was like a cadre of, I don't know, maybe I think 70 some odd cadets. And out of those, he got 25. Somebody had a severed foot.
Mm.
And I mean, it's just, you know, I don't even, but it's, you know, I can't even wrap my head around the fact that Villanueva was like, yeah, okay, no big deal. You know, and I'm going, so when the black woman who drove through the red light here a few months back and killed those people, she was arrested right away. Still in jail. I don't even know if she's even got, if they've even set a trial date for her. This boy wasn't even charged. There was no bail or nothing. They just let him go. Okay, but Sonny, go ahead, go home. What the fuck? But again, you know, Villanueva, who has yet to take responsibility for anything that he's done as sheriff, of course he let him go because that was a big fuck you, L.A. County. Not my issue, and you know, I can do whatever the fuck I want to do it. So I, you know, until oh boy, Sheriff-elect Luna is sworn in. Do you think he did that intentionally? I mean, I could be reading too much in it, but this is a petty and vindictive man. So do you think that's when he did that, like, as a big fuck you?
It would not surprise me. He seems that petty and individual. But I do love this one story I got here.
Okay.
This is just too good. Over the weekend, Herschel talking about the man who said this erection is about the people. No, Herschel, please keep your popular erection to yourself. Well, over the weekend, he was feeling a little froggy, and he went out and challenged Joy Ann Reed to a debate.
Yes, I thought it was a lie. So this was true.
Uh-huh.
This was not.
And Joy Ann Reed said, "You're on." When are we going to do this? I'm ready to go. How about you? Are you going to bring your badge, Herschel?
So is it true that they have pulled, there's no Herschel Walker commercials
I think they're making some new ads, but no, according to folks in Georgia, there's not a Herschel ad to be seen. Last I checked in with Steve from Georgia Stan.
And he's still clueless. He's still clueless that they are using him. Oh, speaking of clueless people, Stacey Dash. Did you hear that she's really upset that, you know, that DMX died? Even she just found out that DMX died. DMX died April of last year, y'all.
I know.
and she's really hurt. The DMX is gone.
Wait till I tell her about Dr. King.
Wait, no, somebody said what? You know, she when did she find out about Frederick Douglass?
Oh, God, there's a whole list of wait till she finds out about Christmas.
Oh, there's a whole list.
Wait till she finds out about Christmas attacks.
Right. Because there's a whole list. They said, wait till she finds out about, who was it? Oh, Prince, Aretha, Whitney, and Michael.
We can't laugh. It's not fair.
Yes.
Or in current social media parlance, who's going to tell her about Prince?
Right.
Who's going to tell her?
It's like, who's going to tell her? Who's going to tell her about Prince? Oh, my God. Sis. Oh, my goodness. I am so embarrassed for you. Because just the fact she's like, she didn't know that DMX died, y'all. What? How do you not know?
Well, you know, the bubble.
That's just
Bubbles a hell of a place.
You know, that's how you know she is just not in touch with the black community at all. You know? Because
she is working hammer and tongs at not being black. I mean,
right. But now, remember, she's trying to get her black card back.
Hence DMX.
She has disavowed the Republican Party. She is sorry for all the things that she said and blah, 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 woody, woody, woo. I'm so sorry. Blah, blah, blah. Bitch, you can miss me with that shit. That's what. Now, you sent me, I didn't get to really read it. What did you send me about burlap, rayon, and cubic zirconia?
I saw this thing on the Herman Cain Award says that either paste or polyester is now an official nominee for a Herman Cain Award.
What? She did? One of them, she did?
No, you're right. You only win the award once you're dead. But she's close enough to be considered
she's a nominee.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a nominee because I think I saw thoughts and, you know, let's pray for our sister, blah, 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 blah.
The tweet, if I were publicly promoting an anti-vax movie, I would try to postpone dying from COVID for a couple of weeks at least. Because the tweet came from the blue checkmark account of Diamond and Silk. Anyone who believes in the power of prayer, please pray for Diamond. Just finished watching. Died suddenly. Something is wrong. Died suddenly is the anti-vax movie.
Now, is it okay? You know, we are not evil or vindictive people. We are, well.
No, we are not.
We are not. No, we do not wish death on anybody. No, we do not. How for never, sis? When people put themselves in these situations, that's one of the reasons why I've never watched Ozark. And there's a certain thing, like, you know, and I stopped watching Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. I am tired of watching movies when white people put themselves in precarious situations when there's really no reason to do it. And then we're figuring out how they're going to get themselves out of the mess that they put themselves in. And because this is how my brain works, because, you know, I'm black. And I'm like, if any of those people in these shows were black, or if this happened in real life, nobody black, we would all be, half the shit, not even a tenth of the shit that these people pull and get away with, will we be able to as black people? Because we'd be already be in jail. It's just like, I can watch this stuff for, like, you know, I still watch Yellowstone. But it's kind of getting on my nerves.
You got to love it.
What?
I saw a quip from Boss Man Wayne earlier today on social media. He just wrote, Yellowstone, the Godfather with cowboy hats. Not wrong. Did I lose you? I thought it was funny, but Tracy? Well, at any rate, I don't know if I'm going to lose her or not. Maybe she ran out of signal. I've thus far kept my word. I have not watched one freaking second of the World Cup. I mean, yeah. And,
sorry about that. Janet, I sent you the picture of the puppy.
Yes.
That we were thinking about adopting. I've never heard Jess. So we have to write this. You should see this application that we have to, that I have to fill out, because Jan writes like a serial killer, and she, you know.
Wait a minute. All kinds of different letters and stuff. I mean, is she cutting right. letters out of magazines? I mean,
she's cutting letters out of magazines. Okay, and so they just emailed us. They checked our references, and we are getting a virtual home visit. So I have to go. So I can talk to my wife.
Yeah, you do that.
You know, so. Yeah. I love you guys, and if you, you know, put the puppy's picture somewhere, and every I get good by.
You know, oh, it's a cutie.
Getting a new puppy. Oh, she's adorable. So I love you. I will go, and we will talk soon.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, puppy adoptions take precedence. But no, what I was saying, and by the way, we got 15 minutes left in the program, and we got $10 left to meet Charlene's challenge to get us down to $16.25 to finish the month. $10. That would be awfully helpful if we could do that. And because I don't know what's going to get cut off first. We're just at that place. There's no good things to get cut off. And by the way, Dave, number 11, I take your critique seriously. Dave is not a fan. Let's just say Dave is not a fan of A1, the most awful taste-ruining crap ever to find its way into a glass enclosure. A1 steak sauce, potassium sorbate. If microbes can't eat it, me neither. Well, I didn't say, you know, I don't put it on steak or anything, but it can be useful. That's all I'm saying. I like Heinz 57 better, but A1 has its purposes, especially because it's got raisins in it, and I can use it to torment Tracy. Kept my word. I've not watched a lick of the World Cup, but I am following some, you know, writing here and there. Mostly what I wind up following is the stories about how people with a freaking conscience are trying to make Qatar, embarrassed. And so we had the entire armband thing, the One Love armband. And then we had the German team putting their hands over their mouth in protest. And then today, during the match between Portugal and Uruguay, a protester carrying a rainbow flag, wearing a Superman t-shirt that said Save Ukraine and Respect for Iranian Women, ran on the field. Security officials eventually caught him. And we don't know if the individual is being detained or if any charges have been filed. Because Qatar is afraid of rainbow flags. Yeah. By the way, I just happened across a list of the most dangerous places on earth for LGBTQ people. Number one on the list was Nigeria. Number two on the list is Qatar. Really? I can't think of anything bad enough to happen to the people who run FIFA. Jesus, they're corrupt. Between 2019 and 2022 in Qatar, Human Rights Watch documented 6 cases of severe and repeated beatings and 5 cases of sexual harassment in Qatar. And people are holding up signs saying freedom for Iran and love for Iranian women. And Iran, totalitarian shitheads that they are, They offered, Jesus, they offered money and material goods to the Iranian team in its first match if they would just sing the Iranian national anthem, damn it. And instead, in solidarity with Iranian women, the Iranian men's national football team kept silent during the last match, during the national anthem. And the Iranian government threatened, is now threatening the families of their own team with torture and abuse if the team doesn't really lustily sing the Iranian national anthem at the match with the U.S. And they're even, I hate using this, but it's what they are. The Iranian government is planting fans in the seats for the match to cheer for, because, well, the U.S. men's team pissed off Iran. Iran threw a fit and said, "We demand the United States team be disqualified." Why? Because the U.S. men's national team showed the old Iranian flag without the word God written on it. And now add Iran to the list of people like Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and Joe Rogaine. Add Iran to that list of people carping about cancel culture. Matt in San Francisco, you're perfectly right. Iran, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Yeah, what does it matter how loudly they sing their national anthem? It's not like anybody on the U.S. team speaks Farsi or sings it either, for that matter. We've managed to play to a draw with Wales and with England. And we have a must-win situation with Iran. "You will sing the national anthem and sing it loudly, or we'll murder your family, because we're such a great country." Jesus. I wonder what miserable, shitty, right-wing dictatorship FIFA's going to go to next. And we are proud to announce that the winner who will host the 2026 World Cup is North Korea! Yeah! North Korea! Yes, I did receive it, and we got an anonymous contribution. That's how we got down to only $10 to go to finish Charlene's challenge. Thank you. A few minutes left. Maybe a miracle can happen. Oh, and a little follow-up just to wrap up. The warm waters are continuing to swirl around Sammy Bad Breath Alito. Remember the story from last week? New York Times blockbuster article all about how Sammy Bad Breath quietly divulged the outcome of the Hobby Lobby case to some rich benefactors back right before Hobby Lobby came out. And Sammy Bad Breath is saying, "Well, I never Well, now legal counsel for the Supreme Court. Who knew the Supreme Court had legal counsel? Isn't that sort of oxymoronic? Or maybe that's the wrong term? Who can sue the Supreme Court of the United... Well, I mean, maybe some sort of workplace complaint, but... No, the lawyer for the Supreme Court, a pettifogger by the name of Ethan Torrey, responded after Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, God bless you, and Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia... I know Charlene in Rogues Island is proud to have Sheldon Whitehouse for her senator. I would be, too. Well, they wrote to ask some questions about Sammy Bad Breath of the Supreme Court. And the pettifogger, Ethan Torrey, wrote back to White House and Johnson and said,
well, Justice Alito has said that neither he nor Mrs. Alito told the rights about the outcome of the decision in the Hobby Lobby case or about the authorship of the opinion of the court. There's nothing to suggest that Justice Alito's actions violated the ethics standards.
Get out the water board!
The Wrights owned a real estate business in Dayton, Ohio, and to our knowledge, they've never had a financial interest in a matter before the court. In addition, the term gift is defined to exclude social hospitality based on personal relationships.
So what it boils down to is these Wrights are religious maniacs who got in the door because religious maniacs get in the door with the likes of Sammy Bad Breath and Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas. And Sammy Bad Breath made a statement directly to the New York Times, and he said, we had a casual and purely social relationship with Gail and Donald Wright. But we never gave them no advanced details of the Hobby Lobby ruling. Sure you didn't. Sure you didn't. Get out the polygraph, how about? Oh, no. Sammy Bad Breath would never do that. But I am more convinced now than I ever was that Sammy Bad Breath leaked his own 5-4 opinion, or I'm sorry, his own 6-3 opinion, in advance of the official release of the Dobbs decision to make sure that John Roberts couldn't carve out a less hateful majority. The Wrights of Dayton, Ohio? Steve asks, as in Orville and Wilbur? Wouldn't surprise me, would it you? Cutter and FIFA, Steve says, they both suck ass. Here are highlights. FIFA's looking to fine the Ecuadorian team because their fans were chanting, "We want beer." They spent $220 billion to bribe FIFA. That's twice the last 10 World Cups combined. Holy shit. That's got to buy some nice chalets. And that's it. Like I said, hopefully the $10 will get there, and we'll battle toward finishing November and staying on the air. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you for the challenges this evening, Ralphs and Charlene. Thank you so much. Thank you to those of you who responded. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve and Roger and Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice. And I want to thank some of you. I put up a Giving Tuesday post on Facebook. Facebook matching Meta, I'm sorry, matching donations received. And I put up a little post about Coal River Mountain Watch, and some of you have jumped in on that, and I'm deeply grateful. This is truly a matter of supporting grassroots work. You can't get any more grassroots than Coal River Mountain Watch. And so last I checked, I think we're about the halfway mark of the $500 I was trying to raise for Giving Tuesday. Thank you. And among other things, Coal River Mountain Watch is a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get your flu shot. Get your keep things wiped down. Stop the spread of viruses. Wear your masks when you're out among the great maggot unwashed and unvaxxed and crowds in general. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if some guy comes wandering towards you down the sidewalk saying, "Well, I'll testify to Congress as long as I get to wear my kilt," avoid that hard drive expert like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.